Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Happy Martin Luther King Day to all. You may not be working today, but of course, Jim and I, we are tireless in our efforts to bring you the stories that are good news, bad news, and otherwise for conservatives. And Jim, one of the biggest stories for Republicans and conservatives certainly came at the end of last week, post our Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, and that was the election of a new Republican National Committee chairman.
We have to get on track, and together we can defeat Barack Obama in 2012, together, unified as a committee.
That is Reince Priebus.
Very good.
I don't know exactly how to say it, and I guess a lot of people don't, but we will in the coming days here. He's the former committee chairman over there in Wisconsin, which had a very good 2010 in the midterm elections, winning a Senate race, a governor's race, and picked up two national House seats as well, in addition to the legislature swinging to the Republicans in both chambers. Not much of a surprise. You covered this a lot more closely than I did. What do you make of the new chairman?
Sure. It's good news for us in that, you know, he has a pretty solid reputation of looking at his past record. Very young guy, very young, youthful looking. And as we all know, a name that's impossible to spell and impossible to pronounce. Perhaps a guy like Garrity shouldn't be running around casting aspersions like that. A big question was it going to be Steele or was it going to be one of these other four competitors, all who had fairly solid records in one state or another? Now, we may be feeling good about him. He's certainly going to have a lot of energy. He may not be feeling that great this morning as he settles into the job and sees the enormity of the task in front of him, probably most notably that the RNC has $20 million in debt, and I understand about $5 million of that is due February 28th. So as we speak and as you listen, if the phone rings, it's probably Reince Priebus asking for some more money because a lot of money has to come in very fast, and that's just to retire the debt from last cycle before they can even begin to think about building up a war chest for the 2012 elections. Already he's starting to make some staff changes, which is, you know, probably necessary, taking out Steele's people, took out the person who was in charge of coordinating for the 2012 elections, 2012 convention this morning. I think if nothing else, he has a plan, he knows what he has to do, and he's you know, diving into it already, and that's all our necessary steps to solving the problem. Whether that's going to be enough, we'll have to wait and see as these months progress.
Yeah, what we know about him so far encourages me quite a bit. And just watching him speak there after winning on the seventh ballot suggests he's maybe not the most charismatic person. But as we learned over the last 2 years, charisma only gets you so far in this job. And it sounds like he's really good at working behind the scenes and doing what's needed to be done here. And like you mentioned, it's going to be a huge process to try and get the RNC back to profitability, not to mention raising close to $1 billion, since a lot of people think that's how much Obama's going to raise just for the presidential race. So lots of work to be done. But speaking of the presidential race and on to the second martini now, one of the folks that you've interviewed recently and has been considered a front runner, or at least in the upper echelon for the 2012 Republican nomination, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, nearly a running mate to John McCain in 2008. And that kind of came back to bite him a little bit on Fox News Sunday as Chris Wallace talked about what he thought was Pawlenty's mixed messages, opposing the Wall Street bailout now, but going back to 2008, he was on TV and elsewhere defending McCain's plan to use taxpayer money to try and help out a clearly collapsing mortgage market. So here's the exchange between Chris Wallace and Tim Pawlenty on Sunday.
Governor, isn't that a flip on bailouts?
Well, no, it's not, Chris. I was playing in the role of speaking for Senator McCain and his views in 2008.
You didn't believe what you were saying back then?
Well, as you look, play the tape, it says he believes. And I was speaking as a spokesperson for Senator McCain. But I didn't support and don't support bailing out places like Wall Street, General Motors, and the like.
Now, it's oftentimes that surrogates end up defending the candidates at the top of the ticket. But this is kind of an awkward position you have to think for Pawlenty when he's basically trying to now walk himself back from the positions of who was really a pretty unpopular Republican nominee 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think there would be a lot of Republicans. TARP passed by a pretty wide margin. There were more than a few conservatives or you know, self-proclaimed conservatives who voted for it and who, you know, I remember Mitt Romney running into a great deal of flack on the post-election cruise from cruise goers who just thought it was a terrible idea. And one of the persons who was giving grief about that, Pat Toomey, now Senator Pat Toomey. So one of the things I think that is a legitimate argument in these circumstances is to say, you know what, I've thought about it, I've looked closer at the issue, and I've decided I was wrong. I just say, you know, I know now what I didn't, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I didn't know it then. Or you could point out that the doomsaying at that time was pretty darn grim and dramatic. Now, I think once you can vote for TARP, and then once you see it being used for AIG bonuses and all that stuff, you know, when people are saying pass this bill or the economy will collapse, well, I expect that the people who are getting that money will then treat it like water in the desert, you know, precious and valuable and not to be wasted. If you see people wasting, then you begin to think, oh, okay, all of that doomsaying and all of that those dire warnings were all nonsense and were all just being used to calm the taxpayers. So I think there's a legitimate case to be made of being wrong on issues in the past, but I'd say just be upfront about it. You know, just explain your thinking. Just explain what you thought then and what you think now and what's changed in the interim besides you're likely to run for president.
Exactly right. And the other major guest that Chris Wallace had on Sunday was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who regular listeners will know is an all-time favorite of ours here. He was asked about a number of things. And one of them was the idea of the difference between vitriolic rhetoric and just plain speech. And in terms of defining what the difference is, Chris Christie, we think, did a pretty great job here.
Is we become so politically correct, and we have so gotten into this figuring out how not to answer a question, how to be completely neutral about things. And people have become fogged over listening to political conversation that's like that. What I'm doing in New Jersey is when they ask me a question, I give an answer.
I like not only what he said, I like the timing of this, Jim, because what we're going to have this weekend, especially on the House floor, is this debate to repeal Obamacare. And you know that the first time a Republican member of Congress slightly raises a decibel level, you're going to get this accusation that the far right is foaming at the mouth again, that they're just hating the president and the agenda, and that's just bad for America. And so to kind of have this as a pretext for what is going to be, I hope, a pretty passionate debate over the next few days in the House is good for us, not only for this debate, but moving forward, when I think a lot of people want to pigeonhole political speech right now.
Pigeonhole, Greg? And what is it you have against this kind of hate speech against pigeons? I say, you notice you say foaming at the mouth. What? They're all just a bunch of rabid dog. You know, the metaphor police will be out in force this week, and that's just kind of the way things are just going to be. I think Christie makes a good point, and it's frustrating because, one, if you're going to have a crusade for civility, I've just offended all the Muslims. if you're going to have a fight for civility, no, I just did it again. If you're going to have an effort for civility, you can't have the folks leading it be Marcos Melitzis, Keith Olbermann, and Paul Krugman moments after they've accused every conservative of being a, you know, having blood on their hands. More civility in our public life might be a perfectly good thing. And in fact, I think probably there are a lot of times it'd be nice to, you know, not pick up the newspaper and have variations of "you stink," you know, be the first thing you see. However, you can't do it right after someone's been accused of murder. And secondly, a lot of people perceive this as you're trying to shut me up. You don't want my argument out there. So you say you're complaining about the tone. What you really want to do is shut down the substance. So, look, I'll put this to our friends on the left. I use the word friends. Actually, no, that's not an offensive term. that if they really want to have a more civil debate, all right. I talked a bit on Friday about beams and moats and how we have to try to lead by example. You got to be critical of your own side when they go too far, and you can't just say everybody on the other side should be nice to me. If it leads to that, fantastic. I am a bit on the skeptical side, as people have noticed, but here's hoping. It's Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Martin Luther King Day. Let's hope for the better angels of our nature and put off the disappointment until, like, say, Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I share your skepticism, because this is the guy who, back during our end of the year award, said that bipartisanship was one of the most overrated things that are in our political discourse today. So count me among those who are not exactly expecting a massive kumbaya moment in all aspects of political activity. And Jim, just before we go, obviously this week could be good, could be bad for conservatives. A great weekend for you and me when it comes to football. My Bears, your Jets pulling off a big upset, and my Bears making sure that they didn't stumble at least this week as they head both to their conference championship games. Could meet in the Super Bowl with one more win on each side.
Greg, if they both win next week, this is going to be the most hostile week of free martini lunches ever. You know, the punches thrown edition. No, I mean, congratulations to the Bears. They you know, looked extremely solid against the Cinderella Seahawks. I'd like to say I was predicting a Jets win all along, but to be honest, I'm a Jets fan. I've been conditioned to pessimism. A truly joyous day in honor of all of our New England listeners. I will not gloat too much for now. When we lose and I need to feel better about myself, I may just suddenly start cracking jokes about how Tom Brady wanted to go out there and win for everybody special to him, his wife and the mother of his children, separately.
And,
oh, did I do that? God, it's so much of that era of civility. Oh, well. Better start tomorrow, Greg.
We almost made it through an entire lunch. Well, no, we didn't. We had to correct ourselves several times. But we're learning. We're trying. And we're probably never going to get there. Jim, we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Martin Luther King Day. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.